treasure story. Any Indiana Jones fans? I love the Indiana Jones series. Yeah, that's a good one. And the younger generations, the Pirates of the Caribbean, you'll like those ones. They're not too bad. I'm not a huge fan of those ones. But who doesn't like a good treasure story? But people are always searching for something, and we are, every one of us. We're always looking for something that's going to make us feel something or do something or achieve something. And I want us to think about this idea as we chase after the kingdom of God, that we're always making sure we're searching for the right treasure and we're seeking the kingdom of God first. And the other thing I think we have to do, I've got to remember it's opposite on your screen that way, is I think, and I often talk when I sit with people when we're wrestling through issues, is get them to ask questions. We have to, in life, ask the right questions, because we often ask the wrong questions. And those questions often come not from God, they come from who? They come from Satan. He gets us to ask the wrong questions. He gets us to ask questions like, how can you make the most money? How can you get the biggest house? How can you have the best car, more better than anyone else? Satan gets us to ask the wrong questions all the time. And so we have to ask the right questions. You've got to ask the kingdom of God questions before you ask all those other ones all the time. Every time you go into a situation, every time you're looking into the future, every time you're making choices and decisions, we should be asking the kingdom of God question first. And then where does everything else fit into that? What is the most important? And so we have these two parables that we read before. The first one is the treasure in the field. Why the man's in the field? We have no idea what he's doing. You know, there's all these, you know, was he working in the field? We don't know. It's kind of irrelevant. And I was chatting with someone before supper. A lot of times in the parables, people try and read too much into the details instead of Jesus was making a main point. Doesn't matter why I was in the field. We're not told why he's in the field. But what we do know is he's in this field and he finds some treasure in the ground. And you might think that's pretty stupid. What's this treasure doing lying in the ground? But back in the first century, that would be quite common. You don't have all these sort of big banks and things. In fact, there's a famous historian called Josephus who wrote in the first century. So he wrote history in the first century. And he writes about when Rome conquered Jerusalem. And Jesus predicted that, by the way. He predicted that would happen in 70 AD, and it did happen. 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, Jerusalem was destroyed, and he writes that the Romans discovered underground all these gold and silver and treasures sort of buried and hidden underground. So quite a common thing. So people in the first century were going, well, this makes sense, found some treasure in the ground. And as we saw what he did, he finds this treasure, and in fact, in the parable, there's two responses to this treasure. I don't know whether you noticed it, but there's actually two responses. There's two responses of this: joy and sacrifice. And I think this is important because sometimes we can go straight to the sacrifice and we think, yeah, and that's really extremely important. But we've got to remember when he found it, I mean, the New Living Translation says he was excited in his excitement. The NIV, I think, uses the word joy. I don't know what other versions you've got out there, but so the two things, when he found this treasure, and so when Jesus is saying the kingdom of God, the reign of God, what it's like someone who finds this treasure, and the two responses are joy and sacrifice. Joy and sacrifice. And so he's quite excited. And the next parable, of course, with the treasure, he sells everything, a bit like the modern story. Everything he's got, he sells to go and get that field to get the treasure. Now, he doesn't just sell a few things, does he? He doesn't go, well, I'll keep this stuff for myself and I'll sell this. So he doesn't kind of go, well, what I'll do is I'll keep this for me and I'll start saving a bit on the side and that can be for the treasure. He says, everything I've got, gone for this treasure. It's that important. And then we have that second parable, very similar, a couple little differences, the pearl of great price. I mean, this guy, it's not just a random thing. He's actually a pearl merchant, we're told. So he's looking around for valuable pearls, and he stumbles across this valuable pearl. Pearls are the only gems that grow in a living organism. I found online what's supposedly the most valuable pearl in the world, and this was actually found in 2006 by a Filipino fisherman, and he shoved it under his bed for 10 years till his house burnt down. And then it sort of came out, and there's debates of what it's worth, up to $100 million, this pearl. I don't know, yeah. Lots of valuable pearls. But in Jesus' story, the guy's looking at all these pearls, and he finds this pearl that is just, it is really valuable. And so that same idea, he sells everything he has to buy this one pearl. It's that important to him. It's so important. And so simply this parable says the kingdom of God is more valuable than anything and everything else in life. Now sometimes that's easy to say, isn't it? Easy to sing, Christ is enough for me. It's a bit harder to live it, isn't it? I mean, these parables are saying that the reign of God, being part of the reign of God, being used for the reign of God, that the kingdom of God is more valuable than anything in your life. Even if you're sitting next to your spouse, or even if you've got your kids here, that's crazy, isn't it? There's nothing more important than the kingdom of God. And so the first question we should always be asking in life is, where is God in this? Where is God's reign in this? What is this going to contribute to the reign of God in Christ when I make this decision? How is it going to help me show the kingdom to people? Not the selfish things. Real joy, real purpose is not found in sex, in relationships, in the biggest toys and the best possessions. And that's the lie that we've been told. Real joy is found in serving Jesus. And real joy is actually found in giving your whole life, surrendering everything you have for the kingdom of God. That's where real joy and purpose is found. Now, in these parables, it's interesting. We talked at the start, remember, about the kingdom is present now, that there is that sense the Holy Spirit's with us and the power of the Spirit is with us now, but it's not fully here. And I think a big part of these parables is actually talking about the kingdom to come. Now, why do I think that? Well, it's no accident how the order of Scripture is put together. Did you know that? I mean, God's put things in a certain order. Now, these two little parables have two other parables before them and after them. What are they? Well, the one just before it is the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And it's the parable where the wheat is planted, but someone's planted weeds in the field. And Jesus says, we're not going to rip it out now. We're going to let them grow together. Two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of God. We're going to let them grow together, and at the end there's going to be harvest. And he says there, if you have your Bibles, chapter 13, verse 39, the enemy planted the weeds, we're told. And then if we go down, verse 40, just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. So just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. So right before these two parables about how valuable the kingdom is a parable about, listen, in the end, this is what's going to happen. Eternity is at stake. And so there is something for me in this, that the kingdom is so valuable because it's eternity at stake. And then what do you know, straight after these two little parables is the parable of the fishing net. The kingdom of God is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught every kind of fish. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates but threw away the bad ones. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's sad, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, I get sad. I was chatting with someone this morning and they say, you know, I really wish everyone did just get there in the end. And I said, well, that's what I'd hope the human response. I mean, if you've got any kind of emotion, that's kind of what you'd, it'd be nice, but we know it's not true. But you'd want that for people, wouldn't you? Because it's horrible to think, but it's the truth. And so these parables, part of the story that this is so valuable is because this life is fleeting and temporary and eternity is to come. But part of it is also about life now. That life now of meaning is the kingdom of God first, putting Jesus first in your life all the time. I always think of many famous people throughout history that have done that. People that have sought after the right treasure and they've asked the right questions. People that were martyred for their faith, killed for their faith, that said, you know, no matter what, that the kingdom of God is just so valuable, it's even more in value than my life. And then I think of even people I know, friends that have given up high-paying jobs to go as missionaries or pastors, or where they've gone, you know what, I had to ask the questions, God, what do you want me to do with my gifts? Now, not everyone has to give up their paying job to go and be a pastor. I think God wants us to have accountants and doctors and lawyers and all sorts of things. But you've got to ask the right questions, right? You've got to ask the kingdom of God questions in every decision in life and stop asking the questions that the world's telling you to ask. They're telling you to ask questions about temporary, just fleeting passions. They're telling you to ask questions about things that are just for your selfish self. They're telling you to ask things about possessions and houses and cars. God says, ask the kingdom of God question first. I remember talking to one of the careers advisors at the high school, and he was adamant that one of our daughters, look, here's the jobs that get the most money for your daughter. I mean, this is, here's the areas that, I mean, here's what you wanted to do, because this can get a lot of money. And Samantha just sort of looked at me and said, we don't care about that. And I think that was kind of one of those moments like in that video where, what's wrong with you? You know what? But she's like, well, that's, we just wanted to do what she's gifted and enjoy. You know, like there was this kind of crazy idea, because sorry to the careers advisor who's trying to be helpful, but he's asking the wrong question, isn't he? You've got to ask the kingdom of God question. God, what do you want for my life? How can I be part of the kingdom of God? How can I show the kingdom has come? How can I be used by you to show that? You've got to ask the right questions in life all the time. And the most important question we're told in these parables is, where is God and what's he doing? Kingdom of God is so more important than anything else you can think about. We saw it in India with a family that's just given their whole life to just serving the poor and the vulnerable. And they don't sort of ask the questions about holidays and cars, and they just ask, well, God, how can we bless people? And their whole life is tied up with that. And we've got to ask those same questions. We've got to stop worrying about those other things. That verse, Matthew 6:33, I thought I had it in there, but I can't see it. There it is. Seek first the best car and the biggest house. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, so often, and I'm just like you, we're consumed with the other things, or these things. It says here, other versions say other things. And I've been thinking a lot about that lately, this idea that we're often consumed with the other things instead of being so passionate and concerned about what's most important, the kingdom of God, the reign of God in Christ. And it's been like that ever since the beginning, Adam and Eve. Satan came along and he asked them a question, didn't he? And he said, well, look, you know, there's something a bit better. You can be a bit like God. You don't have to just worship God and give him all the glory. You can have a bit of glory for yourself, a bit of selfishness for yourself. And so they asked the wrong question. And every human, including you and me, has done this ever since that. And so tonight is just a sense, all I want us to focus on tonight is that sense of surrendering our life again to Jesus. Now, there could be someone sitting here that's never done that, that's never had that sense, you know what, I've never made God the most important thing in my life, and I want to pray for you. But I dare say most of us, maybe even all of us, have kind of got that idea in our head, but we're not always living our life like that, are we? I mean, I can't be the only one that has struggles, surely not. And tonight is a night of surrender. When we come to this communion meal tonight, we're going to share communion together as a response to this message where Jesus has said the kingdom of God is more important than everything. Sell everything to get this. Your whole life. Don't worry about any of that stuff. It's not as important as this. Ask the right kingdom questions. And so we're going to respond to that in communion tonight. And so I'll read from 1 Corinthians first, that passage in Corinthians where we can see that communion wasn't just for the first disciples, because we see that the church continued to practice it. And we read in 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. And so as we come to this meal tonight, it really is first and foremost about what Jesus did before it even gets to us. Let's not try and put it straight to us. We can skip over the fact that really this table is about what Jesus did. You know, our gluten-free crackers tonight, nor bread representing Jesus' body that was broken, the juice representing Jesus' blood that was shed. So primarily this meal starts with remembering and giving thanks for what Jesus has done. But surely this meal is the response of our life. I mean, surely we're not supposed to take this meal and go, thank you, Jesus, have a nice life. You know? Surely this meal is a meal of response. So what better way tonight to respond to this parable to recognize, confess we don't always got it right, but ask God again as we give thanks for Jesus' sacrifice, to ask again that he would help us put him number one. Ask again that Jesus would help us ask the kingdom questions before the selfish questions and the world's questions, that we would ask the kingdom of God questions first. This table is a table where we can give thanks for Jesus, but we can ask that, yes, we would say the kingdom of God is more valuable than everything. And that idea that we'd sell everything, that we would possess that kingdom of God. So we're going to do, we're going to play a song. I invite you to come up and to take some bread and a cup back to your seat and just eat and drink tonight whenever you're ready. So just come and take a piece of cracker and a drink back to your seat, and whenever you're ready while the song's playing, to take that and give thanks to Jesus. But respond tonight. If you need help to have that more sense that you're completely devoted to Jesus, ask and pray. And I'm going to do that for us too before we start. But, you know, this is supposed to be an all-in. I don't want to stand before God and say, wasted life, Matt Brown. I just want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so we've got to keep remembering sacrifice, service, surrender to Jesus tonight. Let's pray, and then when you're ready, you can take communion. Lord Jesus, we read this parable and we do nod our heads in agreement. And yet so often we make the wrong choice. And Lord, we are continually growing and learning. None of us are perfect. We're all on a journey. And we need your help tonight. We cry out, Holy Spirit, help us surrender completely our life to the kingdom of God, the reign of God in Christ. Let's, oh Lord, help give our whole life to it, to serving it, to being part of it, to being used by you, to announce it to people, to show it to people. Lord, would you use us in a mighty way, but help us, God, to surrender to you. Help us to ask the right questions every day, that we would keep asking the kingdom of God questions, not the questions of the world, in all we do, in the little things, in our family situations, in the big decisions about careers and relationships and all those things. Help us, God, to not be consumed with the other things, but seek first your kingdom. And we need your help, God. And so, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you died for us, that you gave your life, that we can actually be part of the kingdom of God in the first place. I mean, without your sacrifice, Jesus, we don't have any hope now or for eternity. And so the whole joy and excitement we have is that we're part of it because of what Jesus has done. But help us to respond, God. We all need help tonight to surrender again to Jesus and to say, we want to seek your kingdom first in all we do. Be the most important reality in our life, we pray, Lord Jesus. Don't let anything else overtake you. You be the number one thing in our life, we pray. We give you thanks for this bread and juice representing what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So whenever you're ready, come.